Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 223.
In his book on hope, Jeremiah Burroughs talks about faith. That faith is the foundation upon which our hope rests. He talks about after faith comes on page 22 in this book. Here's Burroughs. Now once this comes into the soul, it enlightens it to see the glorious things of the covenant of grace. They are the most real things in the world, and they are made over to the soul by the grace of faith. They are such things in which my soul has an interest, such things as I can venture my soul in eternal state upon. Faith gives this foundation, and upon this, hope is raised. Today we're going to discuss books on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Turullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church at Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's an elder here at Westminster. Hey, Rob. So we're talking about books.
Huh? We are talking about books today. We haven't done that in a while. We early on, we talked about some books. And of course, you know, Camden and those guys over there used to have Reformed Media Review.
They did, yeah, which was like a, and if you haven't been to it, it's one of the archived podcasts,
yes,
I think.
Yes, you can go back and listen.
Yeah, yeah, because Rob's on there a couple times, I think. He did a couple interviews even.
That's right, I did.
It was like a short review of books.
Well, they did, I mean, they did talk about websites and things like that, which I thought, you know, maybe we should do as well sometime, but today we're just talking about books.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay, articles or things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, hooked up the sled to the sleigh and mm-hmm. trudged over here through this blizzard that we're having.
Yeah, it's a nice blizzard out there. It's beautiful. It is. Actually, but it's very cold.
Yeah, it is very cold.
We are in the midst of the polar vortex.
Yeah. Well, yesterday was much colder.
It was colder. And, yes. But it was very warm in my heart. I got to tell you.
Oh, very nice.
Right? Yes. Was that nice?
It was. It was.
We had our first worship service back with our whole congregation together indoors. So that was really sweet. And it was happened to be providentially the same day that we're having our congregational meeting. And so, you know,
Nothing warms your heart more than going over
the
budgets. Yeah.
It does get to, you know, it's a wonderful way to prepare you for, you know, watching the Super Bowl later on.
Right,
on the day.
Right. Yep. Which, you know, of course, we put up a screen.
Yes. And they bring in all the visitors.
Right. Yeah. Well, we got two screens now, right? One on each side. We
do have that. We could have a nice watch. But I actually did not watch it.
So, really?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, we were talking before how I went to New Covenant down in Joliet with excellent time there with the people of God. It's always nice. We don't have a service every month. We don't have a service in the first week, the first Sunday of the month.
Yes, we
don't
have an evening service. Yeah.
And so it gives a chance to go visit other churches. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been to John Joliet in a while. And so that was nice.
Excellent. Being down at New Covenant at a great congregation.
Yeah. And it was funny because we got to see our good friends. The Hollisters were there and the Stranges were there. And but then we had all these people from Covenant that had come down for whatever reason.
Oh, really?
As well.
Okay.
And Bethel. It was like a presbytery meeting.
Oh,
really
wow.
Funny.
A little presbytery meeting.
And that was all these people coming. You know, also, the New Covenant people were coming up to us saying, you know, wait, I think I know you, or, you know, well, welcome, you know, and then, and then they're coming to all of us and we're all like, from this church, it's like they had a meeting.
That's great. So, if people are just, you know, moving around because of whatever, we now have 50% capacity of our church building, which is great, which is up to could be up to 100 people, but we typically don't get that far.
Right.
But,
well, we still do have some older people that are still quarantined.
Yes, we do. They stay in their home and for
that's
good
fine.
Reason.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. But it was really, really nice to, you know, from the pulpit, look out and see everybody at once instead of at two different services.
Yeah. And only preach once, which is.
Well, that's nice. Which yes.
Yeah. I know that you love preaching, but preaching is, can be exhausting.
It's taxing.
It is.
Yeah. It's taxing when you get into it, you know, mm-hmm. And then you know, just the basics of you're just standing for a long time.
Well, that's true. That's true. But there's a lot of, you know, especially, I mean, when you preach, there's a lot of emotion that you're exuding into it. Even if, mm-hmm. even if a pastor, if you're seeing your pastor up there and he's not, you know, an animated person, mm-hmm. you know, and, but still there's that emotional
weeping
energy that you're
mm-hmm.
right. Not like you, you know, with your gnashing teeth and beating your head against the pulpit. And
pounding the Bible, you know,
right.
Bow, bow.
Right.
That's
yeah.
me.
Yeah. But other people are not as crazy as you. There's a little more subdued, but still there's that emotional drain mentally as well. And especially, and that's why I think a lot of pastors on a Monday will
take off,
you know, take off or get up in the morning and be like, no, talk to me.
Well, we were talking about books.
We are talking about books.
Right? Books.
Speaking of pastors, I did open up with Jeremiah Burroughs mm-hmm. and, of course, also one of the Westminster Divines.
Mm-hmm.
This is, they would call this a trestis. A trestis.
A trestis.
Trestus.
Trestus. I don't know what you're talking about. It's a book. It's hardcover and it has a title. What's it?
It is, well, it's called Hope mm-hmm. by Jeremiah Burroughs. It's actually from Soledad Gloria Publishing. Which, so it's an older book.
Yeah, Soledad Gloria has been.
They owned by, well, Reformation Heritage.
They took them over, right?
And so I'm pretty sure that this is still in print by them.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't
look.
Didn't
check, huh?
No, I love this. I go to this book when, if I'm struggling through something or mm-hmm. I need to be reminded of the goodness of God in our salvation. And Burroughs is just really great. Very, very Puritan, of course. Originally written.
Wait, it can't be very Puritan if the title 54. Is just Hope.
That's a good point. Actually, that's a good point.
That's got to be abbreviated.
I have a feeling that was a Soledad Gloria Publishing. That was probably a Soledad Gloria Publishing.
Yes, I hear you. I understand.
But what he does in this book is he talks about, you know, like here, I mean, his chapters, the object of hope, the art of hope, the mm-hmm. ground of hope, the saints are men of hope. So mm-hmm. it's what does the gospel bring? What does faith bring? And that's the opening I gave was this idea that he's saying, look, when faith comes, that faith is setting up the pillar upon which your hope rests.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are worried, if your hope is wavering, You don't look to your hope to find out why. Look to your faith. And we all have doubts. We have circumstances in our lives that come and shake our faith. Or just, you know, maybe our faith is not in and of itself shaken in Christ,
mm-hmm.
but in life in general, in our hope in the sense that we're going to have the happiest of times all the time. Our faith can be wavering there as well. Just that the faith that God still he loves his people and he will do good things for his mm-hmm. people. It can be hard to remember that at times. And so Burroughs is saying, because the second part, he talks about how that sin can be the destruction of our hope and weaken our faith. And it's not necessarily the sin in your life that you need to repent of right now, that you're not repenting of, but our past sins.
Mm-hmm.
Our past sins are something that the devil loves to use to be able to bring up that guilt that Christ has taken away
mm-hmm.
can be easily stirred up. And of course, when the remembrance of our past sins that we have taken to Christ, that he has forgiven, when that is stirred up within us, the memory of that, the guilt can return.
Yeah.
And that takes away our hope.
Yeah. Remember, I don't know if you remember in our corporate prayer yesterday, and John Knox was from the Liturgy of John Knox, and it was he references the sins of our youth, forgive us of the sins of our youth, which you know is very biblical, mm-hmm. But it's just always a good thing for us to be reminded of God covering the sins past, present, future to hold on to that hope. So I'm sure Burroughs does a outstanding job of encouraging the hearts of his people. Well, of the people he served and people beyond. Yeah.
Well, it's a really good devotional because the chapters are short
mm-hmm.
and they can take you through. If it's something, you know, that again, you're just having a down day mm-hmm. just to pick this up and read about hope.
Well, speaking about devotionals.
Yes.
You have an actual devotional there that was written for that purpose.
It is true. This is the title is God is Always Better Than We Can Imagine. And it is by a friend of the podcast, Ian Wright.
And not just a friend of the podcast, a guest on the podcast. We have had him on this podcast.
And we will have him on again.
Yes, we will. To discuss this book.
We will. Yeah, we will talk to him about this book. We just can't get our schedules to work out. We've been trying to get him on. It's really us. Mm-hmm. It's my fault. There's 31 meditations on the greatness of God. This is obviously 31. It's for a lot of months. Mm-hmm. Have 31 days. So that's why you have 31. This is by Banner of Truth. It came out, 2 years ago, a year and a half.
I know, but check it out. sorry.
I can, but I was trying to guess. Yes,
2019.
So and Ian, God is always better than we can imagine. That's a phrase that I've known Ian now for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. He says that often when talking about God, talking about, you know, how are you doing today? Well, you know, God has treated me better than I deserve. Or he is all, you know, my God is better than I can imagine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tying it into the book on hope, part of the reason why our hope gets dashed at times is because we have forgotten the fact that our God loves us, that he cares for us as his children. Mm-hmm. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants to give us good things. He is better than what we are thinking he is at the time, even if we aren't theologically thinking it. Mm-hmm. We're feeling it, and our hope is not being rested through our faith on God. But Ian he uses a lot of examples to bring up people in certain circumstances and brings how God brought them through those circumstances. And so it's just it's very encouraging. The devotional is very encouraging. So I highly recommend that. Again, Banner of Truth. Mm-hmm. From 2019.
Okay. And these are books on your bookshelf right now, essentially, or not shelf, but your nightstand. Are these table?
I've been hard. It's Melody's actually.
It's been hard to hold on to because
it's been hard to get my hands on because Melody keeps reading it, which is part of the reason why I had Burroughs out because that's what I was using. But I just love, that's kind of my go-to devotional. But so I've only been able to see some of this myself, but it's funny because when I was reading it, it's like I can hear Ian's voice. And so much of this, in his sermons, you can hear this over and over again. One thing that I love about the way that Ian preaches, that it's a very Scottish style preaching, which is different. There's a different style than American style. And if you've ever listened to, you know, Sinclair Ferguson or Eric Alexander, and you have that, you can get that like Alistair Begg, you can get that as well, where there's just this love of Christ that takes the bitterness of our soul and can just turn it to focus on Christ. We are turned to see the beauty of Christ. And you see that more in a Scottish style of preaching. I've noticed this is my
observation. Your assessment. Yes.
And so it's interesting. I know we've talked about this before. Here's a good Reformed Media Review thing to throw out there. Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia has, and they had put him on a line. I haven't checked in a while. John Murray's systematic theology class from the 60s, which they had put just taken a regular tape recorder. Put it on his desk. Mm-hmm. And so the audio is not the best.
But when
he prays at the beginning, I mean, the whole of the content is great, but when he prays, and this is what I'm talking about with that Scottish kind of devotion to Christ, love of Christ, and he'll talk about, you know, our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Just the way he says it.
Yeah, it's just, be with us now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you feel drawn into the presence of Christ.
The breathy Scottish brogue.
Yeah, it's just this, it's being in the presence of Christ in awe.
Yeah.
That we get from
that gets communicated well. Yeah.
And it really does. Mm-hmm. What do you have? I see you have like two giant stacks of books.
This was the prep
for
today.
How long do you think the show's going to be?
We're going to talk about books.
Right.
Well, I didn't know. I just got the books out that I've been looking at.
Okay.
So, if we start here, we can be here a long time.
Why don't you tell us what you've been personally reading that
so
really helped
you? For Testimony is a book by Bruce F. Hunt, the story of Bruce Hunt in prison for the gospel. This is the book that I mentioned last podcast because I was asked to do this for an audiobook I'm worked on it and accomplished the recording. I'm in the midst of editing, although now that I'm not focused on it, it's taken a little bit longer. But this book is a story of Bruce Hunt, who's an Orthodox Presbyterian missionary to Korea prior to World War II. Okay. And so he's there before it was two countries, north and south. And he was ministering in Manchuria, which is actually China now, but it was Korean speaking where he was ministering. And so it's hard actually trying to look at maps and trying to find out actually where he was and what it refers to now. But anyhow, it's a delightful read. I hope it'll be a delightful listen when it goes out and when it is available, Lord willing. It's from the 60s is when he wrote it. So it's a long while ago, but it was republished by the OPC, back in 2000.
Okay. So can you go to the OPC website and buy that?
Yes, you can. Okay. It's at their, the OPC store, under Historian Books.
Okay.
And it is, I'm looking at it right now. It is $5.
Oh, good.
It's a good price.
Yeah, it's a good price.
Which most of our books are good prices. And this republication of it, it's originally published by Banner of Truth Trust.
Okay.
In 1966, I think. Was republished with a couple of minor changes, some additional photos of the folk back in pre-World War II. Mm-hmm. And with some additional items moved around just for the sake of clarity in it. But the it's just remarkable, you know, I mean, missionary stories are always remarkable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, you've talked about reading biographies before and the delight that you have in them. And this would be along the lines there, the persecution that the Korean Christians went through, from the Japanese, where they were trying to force people to emperor worship. And that just, you know, we believe he is a sun god, or we believe he is a god. And then talking with these people, Bruce Hunt talking with him from jail, in his jail cell, talking with people, guards about this, or his interrogators about this and the way he would interact. And he tries to relay the way in which he would interact with his interrogators. And he does a really good job of showing, you know, just how he had to do that. And then hearing about, he had some other folk that were like his doctor and his doctor's wife, who were missionaries there as well, who were under the auspices of the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, which is what Machen started, but then went off to the Bible Presbyterian Church. So they were there as a service to our missionary endeavors at that time as well. They were incarcerated. So a husband and wife incarcerated, you know, sent to different prisons because of their, one would be a female prison, one would be a male prison, of course. So, and not knowing what was going on. And then his wife, Bruce Hunt's wife, there living still in Manchuria, in a different city because they were bussed off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not knowing if they were arrested or if they were sent back, you know, talking about uncertainty and just sort of like, and the anxiety went through, and what would he do? How would he communicate his faith? And he ends up, you know, scratching John 3:16, the actual words, not just John 3:16.
Okay.
into a wall with the end of his shoelace.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That hard part. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a quick read. It's short.
It's not that short. I mean,
what do we got? 100.
I'd say it's medium.
Okay. 150 pages.
Yeah.
And with some inserts for the pictures.
You know, it reminds me a couple podcasts ago when we were talking about maybe it was the last podcast when we were talking about the return of Christ. And just think about all that you were saying with all the imprisonment, and you don't know where your wife is. Well, you know what? The certainty that we have is that we will stand there with Christ together, and we will be the king has come, and all of our enemies have been defeated.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so good to know. And I was thinking about that when I, because I think I brought this book up during one of those podcasts, because the encouragement that some of the Korean moms and sisters and wives were having to their husbands and sons and brothers in prison, as they would see them, they would yell right. a Korean phrase, which meant to the end.
To the end.
Yeah. And just what heart and what conviction, what desire to see their brethren in Christ, let's say that, yeah. remain faithful no matter what to the yeah. end. Wonderfully encouraging.
Well, we encourage you people yeah. to pick up the book.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You did an audio recording of it. When do you think that's going to be ready?
I honestly don't know. Okay. I don't know because there's still editing process, and then there's even beyond my editing, there'll be editing to make it suitable to go out in the air. So
what's your next book?
So it's actually,
that's a Kindle, by the way.
Yes, this is a Kindle. Okay. I understand that. But on this Kindle is a PDF that you gave me because it's your book that I've been reading. Seeker's Progress.
Okay.
Right. Is that it? Seeker's Progress.
My new book. Yes.
Your new book that is not published.
That is not out yet.
Not out yet. Right. And so I've gotten much further on it since the last time we talked about it. And
see,
I got to say,
asking.
So what?
I stopped asking.
Rob wrote a book called Seeker's Progress, obviously based off of the whole storyline of Pilgrim's Progress, which is what we've talked about. Right. And then we're going to talk about the second half of Pilgrim's Progress and his wife, Christiana. Sorry.
My daughter's name.
Spelled differently. But I don't want to give too much away, but it's, Seeker, making his way through, and it's still the same world. It's not a different world.
Well, obviously I did not know we were going to talk about this. Well,
but you can tell us about it if you want, but I thought I could adulate it more.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because it's really good. And it's very enjoyable. So when it does get published, I've especially enjoyed. So I'm at university right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm in the university.
Okay.
And that was really enjoyable to read through. Okay. And the section immediately before that, leading up to this, when he moved from one city to another city, yes. and I'm just not giving the city's names because I don't want to lose.
Well, Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair,
you
can say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's following Christian. City of Destruction a couple weeks after Christian. Mm-hmm. He's trying to find him. Mm-hmm. So he kind of follows some of the path, but he also deviates and he goes to other places.
Yes. So. And that's what brings a nice storyline and enjoyable to
this. This is a much more novel form. Mm-hmm. Of course, my first book, obviously it's theology.
Yeah.
This is a novel.
When it is out, so we're talking about two things that aren't out yet, right? We got a book that's out, but an audio book that's not out, but another book that that I definitely would recommend.
I was talking with my cover guy today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, were you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm anxious to see the cover. So,
for another book, this is not a Christian book. You just said books.
That's fine.
So I kind of,
absolutely.
The books that I'm reading.
Absolutely.
Is a book called In Other Words, and some listeners might be familiar with Jhumpa Lahiri, who is a novelist, a short story writer. I picked up her Interpreter of Maladies, which was just fantastic. It's a collection of short stories and won a Pulitzer. And that was years ago. And then she wrote The Namesake, which became a movie, and Lowlands, which I have not read yet, have it on my shelf. But I picked up this, and my wife picked it up first. And so Lahiri is fascinated with Italian. She's American. Okay. Well, she is American of Indian descent. And
is that American Indian or
no? Asian Indian.
Okay.
Yeah. But she's fascinated by Italian, and then she eventually moved to Italy.
Okay.
And started writing her novels in Italian.
Wait a minute. She moved to Italy and is writing in Italian?
Yes. So that's her fascination.
Incredible.
Right. Absolutely. And so this book, if you look at it, so one page is Italian.
Oh my goodness.
And then the next page is English, but it's not her English. It's translated by someone else.
Wait a minute. Where is she from?
She's from America.
Okay.
She's gifted. But this project of hers was essentially, it's about her learning to write in Italian. She's writing about the struggles, and it's very, very well done.
That's very interesting. That's very immersive. I also want to move to Italy, by the way.
Her prose is just beautiful, but then the translation of her prose into English is beautiful. I mean, I can't read the Italian, but it's fun going over and looking at the Italian because it's side by side. You can almost see some of the Italian in the, you know, you can see the, you can almost read some of it. It's very, very cool.
Okay.
So I brought that up because
that's great.
No. It's a very quick read because you're only reading every other page.
You don't read the Italian as well?
Come on,
Turillo.
Next book in the stack here, again, these are not in any order, is Dane Ortlund's Gentle and Lowly. We've mentioned this, I think, a few times. Mm-hmm. This is a book that I have handed out to members of our congregation. I think it's wonderful getting at this phrase that Jesus takes to himself from Matthew 11, that I am gentle and lowly. The subtitle is The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers by Crossway. I do think this is a delightful book to read. It is encouraging. It fosters a love of Christ, just like you were saying with regard to how, you know, some of these Scotsmen, the way in which they speak, fosters just a devotion and a love for the Lord Christ himself. I think this book does that as well, in a very, very good way. Easy to read, and just, I think, a book that delights the soul for Christ. Moving on, Rick Atkinson. It's a history book.
Okay.
Called it's the first book of a trilogy of books called "The British Are Coming: The War for America, Lexington to Princeton, 1775 to 1776." Volume one of the Revolutionary Trilogy. I would have never known about this book except for I've just recently started listening to a podcast by Al Mohler called "Thinking in Public."
That's really good. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, most people are familiar with his The Briefing.
Right.
And this is another one by him. It's been out a couple of years, and it's not as regular because he's reading these books and he talks to their authors.
Okay.
And sometimes it's history, sometimes it's theology. He also talked to Carl Truman about his recent book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self,
right.
Which is another book I read and would recommend to the person who really wants to enjoy sort of the history of philosophy or about how we get to where we are with regard to transgender ideology in the secular world.
Crossway?
Also by Crossway,
By Crossway.
I also did an interview with him for the OPC's Committee on Ministerial Care. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to go see that, that's out on their webpage, CMCOPC, I think it's called, .org, or OPCCMC.org, one of the two.
Okay.
But Committee on Ministerial Care of the OPC, and you can see that. It's a webinar. Sat down with Carl for that. But this book, Rick Atkinson, History, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning writer, journalist, and does these historical books. His new trilogy is on the Revolutionary War. A previous trilogy was on World War II, which I did not read. I just decided to start with this one as a new series. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating because one thing that is new in this is not too long ago, Queen Elizabeth opened up the archives for King Charles of that era. Right, that King Charles. And so scholars are going in there and there's new stuff, right? Writings that people have not looked at in a long time. Hmm. And he has that in here, which is just cool.
Yeah, it is.
And he puts it together like a wonderful story, kind of like McAuliffe. I forget his first name.
Yep, Terry, I think. Terry McAuliffe?
No, it's not Terry. It's a different one.
Okay.
Who also writes history. He wrote the John Adams series. Okay. He wrote on Truman. And it's just... flows really well. Let's see. Another book, and you have a book by this guy over there.
I know. I was
G.K. Beale and Mitchell Kim. Mm-hmm. God Dwells Among Us, Expanding Eden to the Ends of the Earth. This is essentially a smaller version of his temple book by IVP. This is also by IVP.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say a layman's version, but it's a more accessible book on that same subject.
Right.
And so if you know that book, you know this book, but this will just, you know, be more accessible, something you can hand out to folk.
The Temple and the People of God is such a great book.
Yes.
And if you've read it and if anybody out here has read it and said, oh, this is such a great book, and you know people who might be who would also like to understand that but don't want to kind of trudge through
the thick book. Yeah, I think it's the thickest in that silver series.
It is the thickest. It's so good and so excellent. Bealdos, there's a little bit of redundancy in the book. I think that sometimes he can be a bit redundant, but he's trying to make some very specific points, and it can get in the nitty gritty, and that's why he's being redundant. But this book is the one that you give to people that don't want to trudge through it. But it's so good, and it's the idea of the temple is
it's
so good.
It's easy reading as well. Delight. You know, the Greek has been put into English in the sense of it's easier. It's just a lot easier. Let's see, another in my pile here is one that I had started and have not gotten through as quickly as I would have liked. This was recommended to me by my good friend Charles Williams.
Our far out Northwest.
He is now. Yes, he a former associate pastor at Bethel in Wheaton, now pastor at Westminster OPC in Corvallis, Oregon. This is Dominion, The Making of the Western World by Tom Holland, another historian. Mm-hmm. People may have heard about this. It's been promoted on a couple of different websites. Again, this is essentially a non-believer writing this book about history and showing really how remarkable the influence of Christianity has been in the making of the Western world. And he does it in a way that is really enjoyable to read. I think you'll learn a lot if you're not a historian or you haven't really studied a lot of these things. You'll learn a lot of really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that, you know, in the basics of church history that I've had to go over studying to be a minister and the extra reading I've done, there's a lot in here that was new to me. Athens and Greece, things about early history that I just didn't know. So that's good. Go ahead. I've been talking way too much here.
No, that's okay. I just didn't bring as big of a stack as you. Of course, I had to come through a blizzard to get here. I have two more books. The first one is by Beale and Ben Glad, who teaches at RTS in Jackson, Mississippi. And it's called Hidden But Now Revealed, also by University Press. It's a biblical theology of mystery. It's so good. We often talk about Gerhardus Voss and the now and the not yet, and that's part of this. In one sense, it has it takes what Beale with his New Testament's use of the old. That it's kind of a good compendium to that, but they're taking the term of mystery as it's used in Daniel. They talk about how it's used in early Judaism, but then they're mainly in the New Testament, Matthew, Romans, 1 Corinthians, other books, and the book of Revelation. How is mystery used? And what they're really bringing out is that it's used not necessarily to talk about something new, but to talk about it as something that had been hidden, but still revealed. But now in the New Testament, the types and shadows. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. That there's types and shadows in the Old Testament, and then the revelation of what they were pointing to is brought about in the New. And they just do such a good job. And there's really nothing out there like this. Mm-hmm. They both they're in their doctorates, have something the kernel that became this book in one way or another. And it's just so good, and it's hard for me to even describe.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think, okay, how can I do this real quick? And I can't do it real quick because it's a really thick book.
It is a thick book.
But it's just excellent because they're trying to help us understand not just what we are not just what the Bible is saying, this is what here we're reading the Bible, but how were the early Jews understanding these same terms, these same, you know, so it's just, I'm struggling because I want to go through the whole book, and I know that we've run through a lot of time. It's when they finally get to the book of Revelation and they're talking about these mysteries that are now being brought forth. And of course the book of Revelation, we think of it almost as its own mystery, but it helps us understand how the Bible is written from Genesis to Revelation, really by one author, the Holy Spirit, through people. And yet it's one book. And we really, that if wherever we're reading in Scripture, we need to remember that we're in the middle of a narrative. even if whatever section we're reading is not, mm-hmm. you know, historical now or narrative, mm-hmm. but it's poetry or whatever, it's prophetic, it's still one book. And so what's talked about in the Old Testament when talking about the sacrifices, how those point to Christ, those are brought out in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And then we can go back to where they're talked about in the Old Testament. We should see Christ. And so this book is just so helpful mm-hmm. in helping us understand. I know I've butchered trying to explain it because yeah. it's just too big for me to explain.
That's okay. I hear you. Go ahead. Yeah. Go to the next one.
The next book is actually a smaller book. But mm-hmm. It's actually one that's been out for a little while. It's a small book. And it's Getting the Gospel Right by Cornelius Venema.
Okay. Yeah. President of Mid-America Reform Seminary.
President of Mid-America. And it's actually giving us an understanding of the Reformation and the gospel and how it relates to New Perspective on Paul.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because New Perspective on Paul is something that was a hot topic, especially in the first decade of the 2000s, but then carried over into the second, kind of waned. And the discussion just, I mean, it's still mm-hmm. kind of out there, but it's just not what it was. I'm starting to hear more and more talk where it's starting to come back. And I just think this is an excellent little book to give people a good understanding of what the New Perspective is, what Federalist Vision is, and what the Reformers taught on the gospel itself. Mm-hmm. How do we understand justification? How should we understand it? How do we understand just how we are saved? What is mm-hmm. the gospel? I think is something that we talked years ago. We did a podcast on what is the gospel. I think in our first season, maybe.
Yeah.
And the reason why we did that was because I think somebody being able to define the gospel in a minute, I think that's hard for Christians to do. And it was when we did that podcast, it was because I was kind of trying to work on myself mm-hmm. because I tried to do it.
Yeah,
and I struggled to be able to actually just what is the gospel, and this is very helpful because it tells us the importance of the gospel and what isn't the gospel. And the New Perspective it just misses a lot of a good Reformation understanding.
Yeah.
I think the best line out there is that the New Perspective is really just old Rome. I think Michael Horton,
said that. That sounds like him.
And it's perfect because it really is a good understanding that the way that Rome was understanding the gospel pre-Reformation, mm-hmm. what Luther was actually rejecting eventually, what he was kind of reacting to, is what the New Perspective is. And so I think this is by Banner of Truth, Getting the Gospel Right. It's for people who just want a good introduction into what the New Perspective is, and that I think is excellent for them.
Excellent. I have a few more just to bring out. I won't even talk. I have a thicker book.
Okay. You have the book.
This is Beale's.
Now, I struggled trying to explain a thick book.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to even try.
And yours is twice as big.
This is a New Testament Biblical Theology by Beale. All right, The Unfolding of the Old Testament in the New.
By Baker.
By Baker, thank you. I'm not sure if he calls it his magnum opus, but I'll call it his magnum opus until he writes something bigger.
Give him a minute.
But Beale is obviously a talented and gifted scholar, writer, and exegete, and this book really shows that forth.
Yeah.
And so in the tradition of Voss, Klein, I'd also say Dick Gaffin. I bring it up only because, right, it's sitting here on my desk. I use it as a resource right now. And so, like, if I'm preaching through something and have an idea about something, I'll go to this almost dictionary-like, go to the index and see if he says something about it, right? So I just want to see if someone of this, you know, capabilities has something to say, and if I'm completely off or if I'm on target, you know, that kind of thing. So I'll use him in those types of things. Another resource that I've been making use of more occasionally is Calvin's sermons. And I've mentioned this a couple times in my sermons, mm-hmm. and I've quoted from him because I've just found them extraordinarily helpful on First Timothy and Second Timothy. Those are the two that I have enjoyed most reading of late. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention we have a monthly ministerium, and we're reading through a former member of our ministerium. That's a group of ministers that get together. Craig Troxell's book. Which is called With All Your Heart, Orienting Your Mind, Desires, and Will Toward Christ by A. Craig Troxell. former minister here in our presbytery in Westminster, California, mm-hmm. right now, teaching pastoral theology there. Outstanding book. Yes. Just really, really phenomenal. And if, you know,
by Crossway.
By Crossway again. Well, they're putting out some really good stuff.
They are.
It is not for the lighthearted. It is full, meaning it's not hard to read, but it's just really full. Yeah,
it's rich.
Yes, yeah. That's what I mean by it. It is rich. Thank you. Good word. If you don't have it, pick it up and read it. And just to orient myself around our current circumstances, I've been reading books on first and second century history. The Christians as the Romans saw them by Robert Louis Wilkin.
I believe the targets was the word that you're looking for there.
Yeah, or targets, yes.
Yeah, targets, yeah.
But the Christians as the Romans saw them. So I thought that was a helpful book. It's been a while since I've looked at this one, but Michael Kruger's book, Christianity at the Crossroads, is also helpful for first century.
Yeah, and actually you've got the SBCK version, but that is an IVP book for the U.S. market.
Yes, I picked this up from England, not when I was there, but
It is an excellent book.
Yes, it is an outstanding book. Yeah. And just to link things up here, Christ the Center has a interview with Kruger on this book, which
RTS Charlotte
from RTS Charlotte. And again, Michael Kruger, I have been impressed with everything that he has written. Mm-hmm. A delightful read. This one in particular, one that I have enjoyed very much. With that, we probably need to draw things to a close.
Yeah. I should have brought more books.
I'm sorry that I've just taken up so much time here.
Well, we are sitting in your study, so it's a lot easier.
Yeah, they're kind of all around us. So, yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. We are a podcast of the Reform Forum, and you can go to reformforum.org to find out about all of the wonderful resources there. And to find out more about the congregation that Rob and I serve, you can go to westminsteropc.org. Or for more OPC congregations, go to chicagoreformed.org. Rob, what are we talking about next time?
Well, next time we start back into the Pilgrim's Progress with Christiana and her boys.
All right. Excellent. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.